You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and today I'm joined by Pastor David.
Hello.
And you guys... You're never going to believe this, but we have someone else here.
We've been promising it for months.
we have our new associate pastor, Tyler Hinkle, with us.
Hello, everyone.
Yay!
So in my mind, when you get ready to put this online, are you going to add like drum roll? Or are you going to...
I don't know.
A little sound effect?
I don't know. It feels like a lot of work.
I know, but... So if you're listening to this now and she didn't, now you know why. It was a lot of work.
Listen, I'm trying to keep things simple these days.
Okay.
Right. So just like imagine a drum roll in your head.
Okay.
So we're excited to have Tyler.
Excited
depending
to be
on
here.
When you're listening, this past Sunday was his first official day in the office, so to say. So it's fun to have you and your family here worshiping with us on Sunday.
Thank you. Yeah.
Today was your first staff meeting.
Yep.
So I'm curious, what did you think of our staff meeting today?
I think that we are all going to work together great. the way you guys have talked about your staff meetings, it was everything that I expected. And I
thought we were pretty tame for this one too.
We were very tame.
But yeah. I mean,
that was good.
I look forward to the ones that aren't so tame.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I would say we're pretty laid back.
Oh, extremely laid back.
Like when it comes to that kind of stuff. I mean, even me. Yeah. Which is saying something, right?
I would agree. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would agree.
It was very nice just to sit around the table and get to know everyone. And we prayed for each other. I didn't know that was going to happen, but what a cool thing. Mm-hmm. Just very, very, very relaxed atmosphere.
That's what we shoot for.
And yeah, welcoming. So thank you.
Yes.
Good. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, we succeeded.
Yeah. We haven't run him off yet.
Day one.
No, it's going to be great. I think you're going to fit in just perfectly. So,
yeah.
All right. So, Revelation.
Yeah.
We got through almost a whole chapter.
Yes, on purpose. I decided before that we weren't going to go the whole thing. But yeah. We got through a good chunk of it.
Yep. So we are looking closer at chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. So not too crazy.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot in there. It's pretty crazy.
Yes. Yeah. So we're talking about like the millennial reign of Christ. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Satan being bound.
Yep. Yep.
The ultimate defeat.
Yeah.
All the things.
All the things.
So I know, like, just in talking before we started recording, we decided this would be a good time for to kind of break down the different views on the millennial, right?
Yes, yes.
And so, like, this is something I know we kind of talked... Did we talk about it early on when we were first doing Revelation a little bit?
I think you had it listed in a in some of your notes of like talking about it.
Okay, and we didn't actually. We decided to wait. No. Okay, we didn't want to muddy the waters.
We talked a little bit, but not. We didn't talk specifically about the real kingdom.
Okay. So these always get confusing to me because I feel like there's a lot of different names thrown around for what each view is, but they all are probably kind of similar as far as like.
So here's what's interesting about it. I know of three primary views.
Let's do
it. The issue is when you're talking about different names is I think what ends up happening a lot is you have a branch off from one of these main three.
Gotcha.
And then there's like maybe a little bit of a twist and now all of a sudden it's given a whole new name. And before you know it, you have an unbelievable amount of stuff. So there's only three main ones I know.
Okay, good. Cause that confuses me.
Or that I have looked at.
Yeah.
You know? We can go. We'll start by going through those very quickly, and we're not going to go into a lot of depth with this. I kept it out of the sermon. One of the reasons is because I believe that there's only one that is biblically supported.
Right. So I'm going to say that. Are you familiar with these, Tyler?
Just what my study Bible says about them.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, yay, study Bible.
Then you'd be a great one, maybe, if you have questions while we go through this. Throw them out.
Yeah.
And I don't want to make it sound like I'm an expert by any means in these other views, because the view that I adhere to, that I believe is biblically sound, is the only one that I spend the most time, you know, looking at. Mm-hmm. So there's three main ones. I'll go through the other two, and then we'll look at the one that I think the Bible is presenting to us. So the first one, real simple name to it. All of them have real simple names to it, but the first one's postmillennialism. So postmillennialism is this idea that, take the word post, right? It means after. Mm-hmm. So in this view, ultimately what it believes is that Christ does not return to the earth until after the millennial period, right? Well, the reason I don't adhere to that is because it doesn't even flow with what the Bible's presenting to us. It's like, mm-hmm. if that's the case, then why is John talking about the return of Christ before the reign of Christ?
Right.
Right. But here's
So why do people think that's a possibility then?
Well,
if it doesn't align scripturally.
Well, because I, like many teachings of Christianity, mm-hmm. I think somebody latched on to this idea because there's this idea behind it. This is the idea behind it. The reason Christ comes after the millennial is because they believe that the church is what creates or produces the millennial. So like the idea with it is the teaching of this, and this is like from centuries ago. This isn't mm-hmm. a new thing. The idea is that the church is the instrument that God uses to create this utopia of Christ. Like, we're going to go Christianize the world. Mm-hmm. And once we Christianize the world and we experience the fullness of this reign of Christ in the world, then we've created the atmosphere. Like, we've created this, the world for Jesus to step into now.
Okay.
Right? I think this probably really fed into people's hearts and minds more when it was like where we would see Christianity spreading. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we're Christianizing the world. Like, Christendom, right? Like, we're taking over everything. And so it kind of fed into that. Like, we're creating the atmosphere for Christ to come back.
Okay.
Post-millennialism really fell out as a major view from what I've studied right around World War I. Mm-hmm. Right? Because up until then, it was like the world was prospering, right? There was this idea of industrial revolution and things were going well and all of this. And then all of a sudden, World War I hit. And it was, this is horrible. And then World War II really threw it out of whack. The reason I don't agree with this, again, is because it just, the Bible does not teach that the world is going to get better and better and better and then Christ is going to return. It teaches the absolute opposite. The world's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Right.
So that's why I don't agree with this one. It's, yep. Paul, you know, Paul taught this. He says in the latter days, like this is the people are, this is what the world's going to be like. And he did not talk positive about mm-hmm. it. Jesus, same way. So that's where I feel like this view completely takes out of context mm-hmm. a lot of scriptures that you have to look at to say that doesn't line up with scripture. The second
one. Is it fairly common for people to believe that? I mean, is it?
I don't know. I've never met anybody that has this view. Okay. I just know it's there.
It's just not as popular as it used to be.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
But it was there, right? It was like, right. It was one of the major ones.
Okay.
The one that I think really is around a lot, even though I've never discussed it with anybody, is amillennialism, or a, and it depends how you say the A, but amillennialism is that A at the beginning of millennialism.
It's a tongue twister, man.
Millennialism, that A, anytime it's in front of that word, it basically is, it's a negative. Like, this is a view that says there is no thousand year reign of Christ at all. This one's interesting though, because I don't want to say that it's, I don't agree with it, but I get where the idea comes from.
Okay.
Their view, this view, is that we're in the millennial now. Meaning, when Jesus, they look at the millennial, this teaching in chapter 20, they see this from a spiritual perspective, not a literal perspective. Okay. So what they would believe is that when Jesus died on the cross and when he was resurrected, in that moment, Satan was bound. Like, he was stripped of his power. He was, like, now salvation had come, right? And so now we're living in the benefits of the millennial kingdom as Christians. So, like, as Christians, we're experiencing the reign of Christ. He reigns in us, and he reigns through his church, and he reigns in all of this. So that's where they get around this idea of Satan being bound, right? But then there's going to come a moment where Jesus, you know, will return and defeat him once and for all. But they view it from a spiritual standpoint, not a literal physical kingdom. So that's the biggest one with that one. Mm-hmm. This is just like this overview. Like mm-hmm. John's giving this overview of everything from a spiritual perspective. I, again, don't agree with that. One of the reasons is because of what I said on Sunday. He makes it a point 6 times to say, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. Like, he's really hitting home mm-hmm. this actual period of time. And plus, I don't agree with this one that it's just a spiritual reality, because I go back to all the scripture. I threw a lot of scripture at us on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I took the time to read them on purpose, because I wanted everybody to hear how the Bible talks about what the kingdom is going to be like. And most of the things that the promises of the kingdom that are talked about in the Old Testament, we're not experiencing those right now. So we can't say that it's happening now, because, you know, we're not experiencing these promises
yeah.
in scripture that will happen eventually someday in the future. So that's the biggest reason I don't adhere to that one. And again, I'm going to read the Bible for what the Bible says. And it doesn't say, there's nothing in this that makes it, this is a spiritual thing, or mm-hmm. this is a, like an overview. It's like John says, I saw this mm-hmm. and this happens. And I saw him thrown into the abyss, which again, Jesus talked about the abyss. Mm-hmm. It's a real place. You know, it's in Revelation earlier. If you guys remember when we talked about the trumpet judgments, mm-hmm. one of the trumpet judgments is the abyss is opened up. So the demonic army comes out, the locusts come out of the abyss. So John's using language here. He's talking about things that we're seeing as real physical things that Jesus talked about. Jesus talked about, you know, like mm-hmm. the demons that told Jesus, don't throw us into the abyss, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's why I don't think you see it as a spiritual, this overview of spiritual things. It's a literal time period. 1,000 years, someday, Jesus will reign on the earth. And that's where we get to the third one, being, yeah, post-millennial, this one. I like easy terms. There might be other terms out there, sure. but I like the easy terms.
Same.
This is premillennial, right? Premillennial being what I've been teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is physically going to return before the millennial, pre. And once he steps foot back on earth, he is going to set up the 1,000-year reign, and he's going to reign for a literal 1,000 years. And all of these events recorded in the Bible are going to happen exactly like John told us. Satan is going to be bound. He's going to be thrown in the abyss. We're going to live in this, I don't even know the word to use, right? Mm-hmm. Like utopian, beautiful creation that Jesus is going to give to us. And then after that, well, I don't want to skip ahead. We'll get to that this Sunday. So there's more to come, right?
Judgment.
But I think what we need to understand is, I didn't really talk about this a lot on Sunday. The 1,000-year reign, this isn't heaven, right? We think mm-hmm. about like, oh, this is heaven. This isn't heaven. This is Jesus setting up his kingdom on this earth.
So it's like, not the new earth.
This isn't the new earth. This gotcha. Isn't heaven coming to earth. We'll mm-hmm. get to that.
Yeah.
Coming. This is Jesus taking his place as king over this creation that has lived and existed under the authority of Satan and sin. Like, he's reigning over this literal earth, mm-hmm. not the recreate, you know, not the new earth. So it's not heaven yet, but we're going to experience. So like, death is still going to occur here.
Right.
Okay. Birth is still going to occur here. Pain is still going to occur here. Like, there's still the ability of injury. There's still the ability. Like, this isn't mm-hmm. perfection, but this is the utopia under Christ's reign that we will experience for 1,000 years. So
it's and hard when for you me say to wrap we, my,
you know,
oh, we?
Oh yeah, I'll be here.
Okay.
I'll be here.
We're going to be here for this.
100%.
Okay.
So if you didn't listen to the sermon.
I just remember talking like in past
mm-hmm.
weeks
mm-hmm.
for certain things that were, you're like, yeah. we're not going to be here. And I'm like, sweet.
Yeah. Judgment. Of course not.
Yeah.
So on Sunday, if anybody was here and they heard it, or if you haven't listened to the sermon yet, you go back and do this or listen to this. When the Bible, if you go back to 19, right, when we talked about the return of Christ, remember when Christ comes back, it says that, you know, here he is on this white horse, mm-hmm. and he says the armies of heaven were following him, riding on the white horse and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. I think we talked about it at the podcast, right? Yeah. Last week, or the last one we did, was that's us. Mm-hmm. Because just before that, a few verses, we're it says army. We're the army because mm-hmm. at the wedding supper of the Lamb, Christians, the bride, were given fine linen, white and clean, right? So mm-hmm. now, okay, we were given the uniform. Now here we're coming in the uniform.
Yeah.
And
I hope it's flattering.
Well, I mean, you'd hope so. I mean, listen, I'm going to be rocking a new, glorified body.
We're all going to be smoking so hot.
I mean, right? Well, I... to whatever God defines that as,
be,
then
do
yes.
Do you think we're going to be shiny? Like Moses' face?
I don't know. Maybe.
Like I have a shiny face. Actually, and I was just listening to about Stephen.
Yeah.
Right before he's martyred and he has a shiny face. I'm like, do we get shiny faces?
When you ask that.
Like, those are all the rage right now. the glass masks, the face mask that you can put on, and it makes your skin like glass and shiny.
I haven't tried it,
but I keep seeing them online.
I thought there for a second, I'm going to date myself, so anybody's listening to this. Allie, I'm sorry, you're not going to know what I'm talking about. But when you said, are you thinking we're going to be shiny? I instantly went to the movie Cocoon.
Oh.
Because they glow in that movie.
Yeah.
That's where I went.
Like, yeah.
Are we going to walk around glowing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So what do you think about these views? Is it like crystal clear or clear as mud, Tyler?
Clear as mud.
It's a lot. Yeah.
It is a lot. Yeah. And it's things, these are topics that some very, very educated Bible scholars disagree mm-hmm. on.
I mean.
So I find peace in that I don't know, but.
Yeah. The most important question is, do you agree with David?
Well, everybody should. I mean,
just kidding.
Well, and
yes, for the record,
show of hands. It really kind of, because some people might say, and I agree to it to a point. People might say, well, what does it really matter, right? Well, it matters because I honestly would have an issue with somebody that comes. Not that I would like, I can't have nothing to do with you. But I would really debate the issue if somebody came to me and said, well, I'm post-millennial. I would really have a hard time with that because I was like, I think we as Christians have to look at each other and say, oh, that's cool. We can't say, oh, that's cool. We have to be like, defend your stance. Because to do so, I feel like you're rejecting what Scripture is saying. And I don't feel like, and again, I agree with you. There's probably very smart people that came up with it. But I think this, how we view Scripture, right, really mm-hmm. is revealed in these things that we hold on to. And the biggest reason, again, I'm going to say I'm a premillennial is because it's clear as day the mm-hmm. way this is laid out. That's the way it's going to work. And I'm going to take the Bible at face value and not try to overthink it or try to have some really, you know, like, hey, I've created this really cool way to see this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, defend your stance. I think we as Christians have to have that. Defend your stance. Because, again, it goes back to a person that if they're a millennial, again, I'm not going to be mad about that, but I'm going to say the same thing. Defend your stance because there's a lot of promises in Scripture that if we're living in that now, we're not experiencing those promises.
Right.
So are you saying the promises aren't real? So that's what I'm saying. We need mm-hmm. to be willing to like know where we stand and defend our stance mm-hmm. because it really determines how we view God and how we view Scripture and so.
Right. Okay. So let's get into the text.
Okay.
For today. So verse 2 in chapter 20. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were ended. So my question is, because you just said earlier that this is going to be like this kind of utopia, even though there's still going to be death and birth, it's not perfection, but still mm-hmm. kind of this utopia. So will people be able to still sin when Satan is bound?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Why is that?
Well, because Satan is not the source of sin. Of course, he's the tempter.
Mm-hmm.
He can deceive.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to remember that people are still going to be caught in a sin nature during the millennial kingdom.
Okay.
And sin, our nature doesn't change no matter. I mean, that nature is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's.
So he's the cause of that nature though.
He's the
reason why we.
No, Not even that. See, he's not, again, he's not the cause of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's the deceiver that Eve and Adam are the cause of it.
Okay.
Their choice is the cause.
Okay.
See, this is what's interesting, and I think this is one of those passages of scripture. Like
a chicken and egg sort of thing.
Kind of. Well, it's kind of like this is, I can't, it's kind of that old, you know, even as a parent, right? You think mm-hmm. about being a parent, and let's say your kid does something bad, and you find out what friend they were with. And how many times do parents do this? I mean, I'm sure I'll do it at some point. I know my parents have done it. I've seen it in other parents. It's like, my child did what they did, but that bad influence on you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's their fault. You can't.
Well, yeah.
Yes, they're a bad influence. Yes, they potentially helped lead the child. But your child made the choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can't forget that, mm-hmm. right? So that's what I'm trying to say is, yes, Satan is the deceiver. Yes, he is the one that caused Eve to question, but Eve's the one that made her choice.
Mm-hmm.
Adam's the one that made his choice. So this passage of scripture, we have to be very careful, where I think this is that passage of scripture where people like to, the devil made me do it.
Mm-hmm.
Knock that crap off. Devil can't make nobody do anything, mm-hmm. right? Now, that person can give the devil or the satanic or the demonic, we can give them more power over us. But again, that power was given. Like it's so I'm not trying to deny that there is, I don't want to get into like demonic stuff, but there is such a thing as demonic possession. There is such a thing as demonic oppression.
Sure.
These are real things. And there is people that can be possessed by demonic and do things that the demonic is making them do. But at the end of the day, we also have to acknowledge that that individual, for whatever reason, whatever they did, invited that presence into their life,
mm-hmm.
right? So again, it always comes back to us. There's never ability for us to say, well, it's not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. That's not an excuse before God.
Yeah.
You know,
no, that's fair.
The devil
that's
made fair. Me do it. So there still will be sin. But here's the hard part, because my brain, you go back to clear as mud, right? I can't wrap my brain around this. Under the reign of Christ, sin will not be rampant like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember, the Bible says that he will reign with a rod of iron, right? That's that position of authority
mm-hmm.
that Christ, like Christ. So think about things that are outrageously sinful in our world now. Like, think about things like pornography and prostitution, and you think about, you know, evil in the sense of hatred and killing and war, you know, and genocide mm-hmm. and these horrible, like these really big, horrible things. Mm-hmm. You think about things that are happening that's a complete rejection of God's truth. You think about stuff we're dealing with in our world, abortion,
mm-hmm.
homosexuality, you know, like rejecting God's truth. Like, that's like Jesus is going to put an end to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't going to be this, you mm-hmm. know, like mm-hmm. get your coalition together, because we're going to go march on Jesus and tell Jesus that we want this to happen. Like, so that's what's hard, I think, for us to wrap our brain around, because we've never lived in a world that Jesus is 100% in control of. So it's hard for me to wrap my brain on how that. So sin will be there, because sinful nature will still be there.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus will not allow it to be unleashed like we see in our world today. Like, he will bring it down. But think about it this way. Again, I don't know how this will work, so realize I'm speculating. This is all speculation. But remember, the Bible says that the reason we're coming back with him is because we will reign with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
During the 1,000 years, we're not just all going to be chilling in, you know, Jesus's palace.
Like,
we will be dispersed upon the earth to rule.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. Like, what is that going to look like, do you think?
Again, I don't know exactly. Our reign
with Christ, because it says it a lot in here.
Yeah. And we're going to judge the world, right? The Bible says we will. Christians will judge the nations. So the best example I can give to this would be, and again, this is just me trying to wrap my own brain around it, is go back to the Old Testament. You'll appreciate this, right? Going Old Testament reference.
Yep. Love me some Old Testament.
Remember, Moses was trying to lead the nation, and he couldn't do it. And his father-in-law came. What did his father-in-law say to do? Do you remember? What was Moses' father-in-law? He's like, Moses, you're not doing good here.
Oh, like, he said to, like, basically, what's the word I'm looking for?
I love the hand gestures.
Mind it out to other people.
Yeah, like, delegate it.
Thank you, delegate. Oh, yeah. That's what I was trying to think.
We still need to videotape these. Y'all could have seen the hand gestures of her trying to figure that out. But yeah, exactly. Yeah. He said delegated. Mm-hmm. He says put somebody over 50, over 100, over 1,000. Mm-hmm. Like, spread the responsibility. I personally kind of see that's what it's going to be like. Jesus is going to reign mm-hmm. from Jerusalem, is what the Bible tells us. Mm-hmm. That's where his throne will be. And his church, his saints, will be dispersed to reign the world with him, right? So I think, because the other thing you got to remember is...
So we're going to have our new heavenly bodies yes. now?
See, that's the cool part. We're glorified.
Okay.
Like we're yes. we're not like the rest of everybody else.
I hope right? we're shiny.
Like, we're not... You have the people that lived through the tribulation, uh-huh. right? And they're still living through the thousand-year reign, but they're still yeah. living as in the flesh. They're still in their sinful nature. They're still, you know, but they're... See, this is hard to wrap your brain around.
So are we... We're not going to be sinful, though?
No.
Cool.
Listen, go back to the wedding supper of the Lamb took
okay,
place.
Okay, okay, okay.
We've been purified. We've gone through the judgment seat of Christ. We've received our reward. We're not... So... You remember how, you know, you hear in the Bible that talks about, and some people wrestle with this, but, you know, Jesus is like, what's marriage going to be like in heaven? And he says, mm-hmm. it's not.
No. Yeah.
You're not going to have kids. You're not,
which is hard for us to understand. Yeah.
Yeah. That's us in this moment. Like, we're mm-hmm. back here, but we're not we're engaged in the life of the world. I'm not going to say mm-hmm. we're just kicking back on our thrones.
Yeah. Like are we going to need to eat?
I'm assuming so. Bible talks about there's trees in heaven, fruit in heaven. Uh-huh. I mean,
I just honestly have not spent a lot of time thinking about this part.
Yeah.
So like all the questions in my head right now are like,
well, that's what I love about the questions is they're all amazing questions, yeah. but we're not going to have the answers until we're there.
Yeah.
Because the Bible doesn't go into great detail with it. Mm-hmm. But what we know is we're glorified. Okay. Right. So we have received living our amongst. Heavenly reward. Right. So we're going to be fully righteous.
Okay.
We're holy now. Mm-hmm. Like I'm holy now, mm-hmm. but I'm holy because Jesus is, his righteousness is on me. At this point, we've been glorified. We have our own righteousness now. So imagine if you take all the governments of the world right now, take all the leaders of the world, mayors, governors, all the way to federal government and all of that, police, all of that, right? I'm not trying to say they're all bad, but I'm just saying you replace all of those with glorified Christians, imagine how that changes how the world functions. There's no more corruption. Mm-hmm. There's no more mistreatment. There's no more... There's holy judgment on sin and dealing with it right away, right? Like, so I think just that, if you think about that, how that will suppress that sinful nature, mm-hmm. right? And again, I don't know what it's going to look like, yeah. but it's going to be cool.
It's wild I know to that. Think about.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you think about this is the other stuff I didn't go a lot of Sunday. That's why we could talk for hours on this because it's all mm-hmm. speculation, but yeah. it's exciting.
It makes me want to read Randy Alcorn's Heaven
okay.
again. Did I'm he wondering, cover? I'm the... wondering if he covered this.
Okay.
I feel like he probably did.
But see, this is but where, again, that's yeah. where the tension is because there's aspects of heaven here, mm-hmm. but this isn't heaven yet.
Right.
Right?
Oh, so yeah, that's interesting.
There's where the tension is because mm-hmm. if we try to feed all of perfection into it, that's not the case because we still see this is where it goes then when Satan's unleashed, right? Mm-hmm. You see he deceives once again because of that sinful nature. Mm-hmm. But what I was saying about this also is it blows my mind is the Bible talks about, I talked about on Sunday, like people during this time are going to live long lives again. We're going to go back to that mm-hmm. 400, 500, maybe even 700 year lives. People living during that. Not us. We're in our eternal state, but these people, imagine the population explosion that's going to happen during 1,000 years of people. Like, imagine being go back to having kids for a few hundred years. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just crazy to me to mm-hmm. think about how it's going to revert back to that, mm. you know?
Yeah.
Because you got to remember during the tribulation, most of the population is killed. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden there's this 1,000 years of just prosperity. An yeah. explosion, you know, it just
and people. There will be people at that time that are because we're out amongst people, mm-hmm. so there'll be people that will decide not to reject.
Yes,
Jesus,
I believe so.
Okay,
I believe so. Here's the other tension with that, right? I think biblically, the way it's presented, everybody that enters into the millennial kingdom will be those that chose Christ.
Okay,
okay. So after the tribulation, I think. everybody that rejected Christ has been judged, like killed, judged.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, okay.
Like they've been removed.
Okay.
Only believers, those that chose Christ during the tribulation, will enter into the millennial kingdom. Now, it's up in the air. What are we talking about here? A million? 10 million? A billion? Like, I don't know. We don't know how many people that will be.
So we're glorified, but there's still, but we're still sinful?
No.
Because there's still sin?
So you're trying to mix everybody together.
I know. I'm confused.
There's two different. Tyler, you tracking with me?
Yes.
He's going to be like, no.
Like, tell me you're just as confused. Yes, but
I have I have my own questions too, like where say this all starts tomorrow and we're living, right? Okay. So this starts tomorrow, we're living.
Okay.
From my understanding is we're judged, hopefully we're judged holy.
Mm-hmm.
And given our eternal bodies,
mm-hmm.
all before this happens, mm-hmm. this 1,000-year reign,
mm-hmm.
the souls that are, say, already with Christ, mm-hmm. people that have passed,
mm-hmm.
then we'll be coming together with all of those people
mm-hmm.
who died in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people that will be coming back to reign mm-hmm. for that 1,000 years. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You're tracking. I mean, so I really bad want to get up and like ride on the whiteboard. Not because it won't, but it'll benefit none of you listening. But don't anybody that's listening to Mike be confused. We have to understand we're talking about two completely separate groups of people.
Okay.
The first group of people, when we say us, is because the rapture hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say tracking with what Tyler just said. The rapture happens tonight at midnight, mm-hmm. right? All of those that are believers in Christ right now at midnight, right, we're taken out of here. We're gone.
Yeah.
We go to heaven.
Elijah
right?
style.
We are reunited with every believer that has passed away in Christ since mm-hmm. the beginning of time, mm-hmm. right? Like we're with them. During that 7-year period, now I don't know how this is going to play out because it's not told us in the Bible how the timing works. But during that 7-year period, I believe from Scripture, we as the rapture church will go through the judgment seat of Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a judgment of salvation. This is a judgment of evaluation. Like, what did you do with the life that I gave you? Like, so this is where we receive our rewards, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The judgment seat of Christ is our preparation for the wedding supper of the Lamb, right? This is like the bride's getting dolled up, right? We're getting purified. We're going through that. So when we're talking about the church coming back with Christ, we're one complete separate group. Like we're going to live on the earth during the millennial reign, but we're not part of the group of people that lived through the entire tribulation and entered into the, you know, so like these are the other group of people. These are the people that, let's say I wasn't a Christian and the rapture happens
mm-hmm.
midnight tonight. I don't go. Now I have to live through 7 years
mm-hmm.
of tribulation.
Right.
And for some reason, God determines that he allows me to live through all of it. Boom, when Christ returns, he comes back with you two mm-hmm. that were with him in the rapture. I'm the guy that's still, I don't want to make it sound bad, but like I'm the lowly human still
mm-hmm.
that hasn't gone through purification and justification. Like mm-hmm. I haven't gone through that.
But it didn't judgment already happen?
What judgment?
Did you say like the judgments that we just talked about?
The judgments of tribulation have happened. Of the tribulation have happened.
Okay.
But not everybody's going to die through that.
Oh, okay.
There's going right. to be... You got to go back to... Okay, so go back to...
I thought that we had talked about like utter annihilation, basically. Like utter, complete judgment, finally. Because it was like partial judgment, and then finally it was like complete judgment. But then I could be confused about like the time... Because the timelines are all off in here.
So
like,
we did talk about partial...
So that's why I'm confused.
Okay, so... Maybe
this probably isn't a podcast. This is like a conversation.
I know
another
this is
time.
Great, but it might be because some people might be listening. Going, yeah. like, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
So if I'm remembering right, our conversations, we did talk partial judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Partial judgment being in Revelation, there are partial judgments. The trumpet judgments were partial judgments. Like, so the trumpet judgments is where we talked about God strikes the fresh water, but the Bible says he only struck down a third of it.
Mm-hmm.
He judges vegetation, but he only strikes down a third of it. That's what we talked about. Those are partial judgments, meaning God did not wipe it out completely. But under the bowl judgments is where then God finalizes his judgment complete, meaning all of the fresh water is removed, all of that. But the thing we have to remember is, there's also, remember when we talked about the dragon, and the dragon being Satan goes after Israel? Remember, it says in there that God protects Israel. So if we just stop there, that means no matter what, after the tribulation is done, there's going to be a whole, there's going to be a lot of Jews that have been protected through. So a lot of Jewish believers are going to enter into the millennial kingdom. Potentially, I'm going to say there's probably going to be Gentile believers too that enter into the millennial kingdom. They don't die through the tribulation.
Okay.
Because you got to remember, who's being judged in the tribulation, in those judgments? It's not the believer.
Right.
It's the unbeliever.
Right.
God, however he chooses to do it, is going to sustain people.
So there's different levels of unbelievers?
No. I'm trying to...
This is maybe a conversation for another time, so this doesn't turn into an hour-long podcast. So I'll stop asking.
I guess the question is to clarify, is where the... or where you're,
I think
you're
maybe my timeline's messed up.
Okay. I mean, because here's ultimately what we have to understand is when the tribulation ends, there will still be human beings living on earth that have lived throughout the entirety of the tribulation. Those people will be believers that God supernaturally protected to survive those judgments.
Okay.
Because you got to remember, the Bible, when it talks about people dying during the judgments of tribulation, we don't know, so this is a speculation, but it doesn't necessarily say that's everybody dying. The only time we're told believers die during the tribulation is people that die because of the Antichrist and because of like being killed and martyred.
Right.
It never says they're dying because of the judgments of God, but the unbelievers are dying because of the judgments of God. So when we get to the end of the tribulation, and then we enter into the millennium when Jesus returns,
it's all
there
believers.
Will be all believers.
Okay, that's what I needed to hear.
Okay,
that's all helpful. Believers.
Okay, so the righteous of God will enter into the into the millennial kingdom.
Okay, that makes more sense, because I'm like, how can it be this utopia if like there's still people that are?
But see, that's the thing. That's where it's a utopia.
Yeah.
But this is where they still have sinful natures.
Okay.
They're a believer just like
you. But their salvation isn't at stake necessarily?
Like no.
Because they're believers.
They're believers.
Okay.
See, here's what I'm saying. When Jesus comes back, that doesn't change everybody on earth.
Right.
Like, they're going to be a believer just like you and I are believers. They're still a believer. Their salvation is secure. But they're still going to have to live and die.
Right.
All right? The issue is, those people that enter into the tribulation, or enter into the millennium, are going to have kids. And this is something we can see through the Bible over again. Righteousness is not inherited.
Right.
So just because two believers have a child doesn't mean that child is right with God. See, that's where the issue is going to run in.
Okay.
Because these people are going to have children. And we see it all throughout the Bible, right? Think about Israel. You have the faithful that come out, right? And then what happens? Judges. The next generation. They jack it all up. Right? And then they get right. And then what happens? The next generation just jacks it all up. So that's why we see this ability for Satan to come deceive, even though it's going to be offspring of righteous people.
Okay.
There's going to be generation after generation after generation that are born with a sinful nature, but they have to still choose for themselves.
Okay, that is helpful. That helps me.
Okay.
That helps clear things.
So yes, righteousness is not inherited.
It's a little less muddy.
So as the millennium goes on, I think there's going to be a mixture just like there is today. You're going to have those that are truly faithful believers of Jesus, which is crazy to me to think about, because they're going to see him, right? But you're going to have people faithfully choosing to follow him, and then you're going to have those that do not. Okay. And then when Satan comes to deceive... You get all those that, like, we can do this better than him. Let's overthrow Jesus.
Okay. So, my last question is the last section of text. Let's see here. Verses 7 through 10. Where he is released from his prison.
Yep.
So, why does God release Satan when he was already bound?
Yep.
Why? That's a question.
It's a great question. I want to start my answer by saying, I don't want to say that this is a speculation answer, but I don't want to speak for God.
Okay.
God doesn't tell us.
Right.
He doesn't say this is why. But here's why, if we look at the entirety of Scripture. Following Christ is not authentic unless you have an option to not. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
This is why a lot of people struggle with, why did he put the tree in the garden in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
It's like he was just setting them up to fail. No, he wasn't. A love relationship is not a true love relationship unless you have the option to not.
To reject, yeah.
Yes. So, millions upon millions of people are going to live through the millennial kingdom. And they are going to experience the goodness of Jesus. They're going to experience the blessing of Jesus. They're going to experience the utopia of Jesus' kingdom. But unless Satan is released, they've never had a choice to not. And everyone has to have the choice, right? Otherwise, it's not authentic. So my understanding of this through study and just it makes sense to me. Satan is released not because Jesus wants to judge more people, but Satan is released because everyone has to have the ability to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
This is the beauty of free will.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it right now, nobody, all these people, so if I'm born, like if the millennium starts tomorrow and then Amy and I are in it, like let's say we're part of those people that were lived through the tribulation, and then we had another child, right? That child has known nothing other than Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which is awesome. We say that. We hear that. And they're like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Right? But they have no choice. They've had no choice. Now, before anyone can enter into the eternal state of heaven, which is going to come up here soon, mm-hmm. like we're going to start getting into it this next week, this Sunday, no one can enter into that eternal state until they make the choice.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make the choice. And that's what this is. Will you choose to follow Jesus? Or it goes back all the way to Joshua, right? Me and my house will serve the Lord.
Who will you choose?
Who will you choose?
Yeah.
It's been the theme all throughout Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Who will you choose? So Jesus, and this is the mind-boggling part, right? Is because we sit here and we say to ourselves, I would never do such a thing. How often do we say, if I would have been an Israelite and I saw the Red Sea and I saw this, I would never have rejected God.
It's just different idols we have now.
And so what this does, and I talked about this on Sunday, this shows the reality of the sinful nature,
mm-hmm.
that we are absolutely depraved, broken. So there's no goodness in us apart from the goodness and grace of God. Like this speaks of our depravity, and it also speaks of the necessity of Christ, because we are not good.
Mm-hmm.
At the core, we are not good. Even people that are growing up in perfection of utopia of Christ's kingdom will still reject it. That's just mind-boggling, right? But it's not the first time.
Mm-hmm.
These people are choosing to reject Christ with a sinful nature. Adam and Eve were perfect.
Mm-hmm.
They were innocent, and they still refuse. I mean, see what I'm saying? So it's like,
mm-hmm.
it just shows our need of his grace and his mercy. Mm-hmm. And
yep.
So, mm-hmm. but it ultimately comes down to choice. It's the free will. Will you choose me? Because hell, we struggle so much with hell, and I don't want to make it like simplify it, but no one goes to hell other than those that choose to go there. That's my belief. That's what I see from Scripture. Mm-hmm. God doesn't, like, you get what you wanted. I wanted to live my life without you, and God says, great, and that's what you get for eternity.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, that's scary, isn't it?
It is, but that's, man, we wrestle with it, but at the same time, isn't that also, this is going to sound so awkward to say,
mm-hmm.
but isn't that also show, I mean, God is perfect, holy love, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's love, too. It's saying, I'm not going to force anything on you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want me, you're not. I'm not going to force me upon you either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we. It's hard for us to wrap our heads around that, but what a. I love you enough to let you have the choice, and I'm not going to force you. It's just.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not the kind of marriage we would want either.
No.
It makes me think of like the movie Misery.
Oh yeah.
I'm just going to misery you. All right.
With that note. That's it. No, not positive.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that movie.
No. Oh my gosh. That's a classic.
I better watch that movie.
Oh my goodness.
And then report back to us at our next staff meeting.
Yeah, I will.
Tell us how you related to Jesus through the movie Misery. Man. I don't know. In all of it, this is the hard stuff. And
yeah.
Sunday's going to be hard, too.
Because with all the children in the sanctuary. Listen,
don't they go down after it's done? I think they go down after it's done.
I don't know.
I think they go down.
Okay.
I hope so.
But I'm going to say this. We're not going to sugarcoat. Children need to hear it, too.
That's true.
So, you know, I think we've done a really bad job of, not us in general, I'm saying in our society mm-hmm. today, like, we got to shield children from these things. And mm-hmm. it's like, no, they can handle it.
Yeah.
You know? It's going to be a little hard. We'll have to look at that final judgment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's also good news, right? The final judgment's good news. Because you can't get to the new until you get rid of the old.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus is doing. That's what happens at the judgment. Is mm-hmm. you can't get the new heaven and new earth until you get rid of the old. Mm-hmm. So, anyways.
Well, hey, you survived.
Your
first podcast.
It was great.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. Happy to be here. I'm learning stuff. I got my study Bible out, checking notes. Everything that you said was in here. Post millennium.
Yep.
Premillennium. Amillennium.
I'm just wondering if I have that study Bible. Maybe I just read it.
So my homework for you.
Yes.
Is next Sunday. Or this coming Sunday, like, write down any questions you have during the sermon, and then send them to me, and we can use them.
Well, you can grill David.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Will it? Yeah.
Are you going to write down questions, too?
I never write down questions.
No?
He's got all the answers. We got the questions, he's got the answers. Yeah.
Okay. No,
or at least think he's really good at faking it.
Amen.
It seems like he's got...
Fake it till you make it.
I can't. This is what I love about the brain and memory is I can't remember a name for nothing uh-huh. to meet somebody, but mm-hmm. the most obscure information can be stuck in there in a file cabinet that just.
Yeah.
I remember hearing this.
Scott's
once,
the same way,
and I'm going to pass it off like I know what I'm talking about.
All right. Well, this Sunday, children's Christmas program and. Yeah. A little bit of a shorter
revelation. Shorter
sermon. I mean, does it have to be shorter? Does the Christmas program take up
a bunch of time? No. I mean,
because you're only doing verses 11 through 15, right?
No. We'll go into 21, but we're only going to go to verse 5, I believe.
Ooh.
Because they fit together. Originally,
so we'll have some good in there.
Yes.
Because he's going to wipe away every tear, David.
Like, originally, I was just going to preach on... Originally, the plan was I was going to preach all of 20 this last week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just going to do verses 1 through 5
this Sunday. Oh.
But the more I was looking at it, I was like, they fit together because... He's taking care of the old so that the new can come. And so anyways, that's why I decided to put them together. So.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for listening.